You're listening to the World's Team Podcast. It's not just America's team, Cowboys Nation. It's the world's team. Now, here are your hosts, Paul Stewart and Mike Poland.
How about them Cowboys?
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the World's Team Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Network, sponsored by Cowboys Experience for the ultimate game day experience, tailgating, stadium tours, all the above. Be sure to go to www.cowboysexperience.com and use the discount code WORLDSTEAM2025. I'm your host, Paul Stewart, and I'm joined, as always, Mr. Mike Poland. And, season is over, pretty much.
Yeah, well, it is over. But, yeah, I mean, we still got to get through two more games, one on Christmas Day. But
at least we can enjoy that in some way. We can say, oh, yeah, we can watch some football on Christmas Day and not have to deal with some trashy TV or whatever. And that. At least we've got something to watch.
Yeah, and I'm trying to see for Blogging the Boys if I can get the day off. Because I'm going to be like, in the UK, that game kicks off 6 p.m. Christmas Day. I'm going to be more than merry at that stage. I got given a lovely bottle of whiskey by Michael Tovar. From Cowboys Experience. And I said, I'll open it on Christmas Day and I'll send you the video or our video chat when I try it. He's like, yeah, do it. So that's going to be Christmas Day at 6 p.m. I'm going to be a bit blurry, so...
Yeah.
Drink responsibly, though.
Yeah. Well, folks, as you may have just noticed, the Dallas Cowboys are eliminated. Well, we were eliminated yesterday with the Philadelphia Eagles winning against the Washington Commanders. But today really put the nail in the coffin for sure.
Oh, yeah.
As the Dallas Cowboys lose 34-17 against the Los Angeles Chargers at home. And I was right, Mike. I was right. About the whole favorite scenario, I hate being favorites in a football game. I hate it. Absolutely hate it.
The conspiracy continues.
It feels like, I wouldn't say it's conspiracy. It just feels like that there's that mystical curse on the Cowboys in a way. Like when it comes to them being favorites in football games, we just do not ever perform. I mean, I'm just looking at the stats right now. I mean, we had a good start to the game. I mean, we were like very competitive, but it seems like that whole second half, it was just complete dog water, pretty much. That's the nicest way of putting it.
Yeah. I mean, here's the biggest issue. We talked in the pregame show about the Chargers offensive line, and the way to do it is to just crash.
Yep.
Crash it, get to Herbert, me, and we've seen it on one particular play where Donovan Isaraku, I think it was like in the fourth quarter. It was the fourth quarter. This is how bad it was on the defense. That we finally get to Herbert and it forces an errant throw, which makes them have to take a field goal. And you're just like, that's how you beat the Chargers. You do that all day. I'm watching at the same time Vikings Giants game, and the Giants are swarming pressure up front, and you're just like, the irony of all of this is there that you're watching how to defeat these teams from other teams and the Cowboys cannot do it. And it turns out they're putting Matt Eberflus, and I did a gif that people quite liked. They're putting Matt Eberflus up in a booth, actually made it worse. We got no pressure to Justin Herbert. I mean, the sack rate, the pressure rate, everything is just
0-0. Like, no sacks, no pressures.
And I think they managed to force, if I read right, I think they managed to force something as little as four quarterback hits.
Yeah. It's not good, mate. It's not good. I mean, let me run the statistics right now.
Before you do that, you was talking about nails in the coffin, right? With the season being over. That was the nail in the coffin was when the Eagles won. I think this game, when you watch a team going up against the worst offensive line in the NFL, and you make that offensive line look good, and I've tried to defend Eberflus much to my forget it. I got a number of times on social media and articles, I've tried to defend Eberflus and it's come back and hit me quite hard by the readers or the fans or whatever. But seeing this performance today, this one most in particular, is that was the nail in the coffin for Eberflus, because that was absolute, as you say, dog water. It's just a nice way of putting it. It was, but that's
abysmal.
Terrible.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm just looking, like, even looking at the defensive stats right now, most of our tackles have came from our secondary. Revo, Hooker, Donovan Wilson, Trayvon Diggs. Then it's on linebackers with Logan Wilson, Shamar James. The one is the top of the list in terms of defensive line is Kenny Clark and James Houston. But if you look at the very bottom, right, all of our, pretty much all of our defensive ends and all the other guys in there, like Dante Fowler, Solomon Thomas, they're all very much down at the pecking order. And we actually had some of our offense in the defensive stat sheet as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not great. Not great by any means.
No.
But, I mean, just looking at this right now, like, we're going to have to ask the question now and get ahead of it. Where do we go from here, Mike, right now?
From here, the draft.
Yeah. I mean, that's the simple answer. But, yeah. But in terms of, like, in terms of internally, what do we need to do?
Internally, okay. Let's start with the top, Schottenheimer. I'm okay with Schottenheimer. I think, given the circumstances of the season, the way the Cowboys were left very much shorthanded on the defense with trades, with things that happened in the season, with certain games, and you watch the Eagles game in that comeback, you go, okay, Schottenheimer for me gets,
Let's forget about the last two games.
It's a B plus.
Well, we'll do a proper grade at the end.
Yeah, sure.
But I think
everywhere else, you need to strip it down, especially on defense. Defense, I just do not know what happened. Offense, I would keep everything there, because we've just seen what the offense can do. We've seen this season, Dak, great season. Javonte Williams, great season. Pickens, Lamb, Turpin, Flournoy today. I mean, unbelievable. I know there's the injury. You look at the offensive line. The offensive line has been above average. And you think, you know, there's a lot of young players on our offensive line, so they're all going to grow together, and it's, you know, Booker's first season, you got Guyton's third, you know, all these pieces there, and they may even get another one in this draft, you know, because right tackle is a need. So you look at all of those parts and you go, offensive wise internally, okay, defense, it needs stripping right down, and start at the top with Eberflus.
I have no disagreement there. As it stands right now, Mike, after witnessing it with Eberflus being in the box more than anything, who should have had a more bird's eye view of overseeing of what was right and what was wrong.
Yeah.
It's just not good enough. Just not good enough. Like, I mean, I'm sure he's a nice guy and whatever and that, but in terms of the business of the NFL and how the league can be very cutthroat, you're gonna have to cut the wheat part from the what's the saying? Like, you just need to cut the thread off the whatever you call it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, off the cloth.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm struggling with analogies today. I feel really proper numb about this game. Like, I said that going in, and like I'm just shrugging my shoulders, like, it's likely going to be over, etc. Like, there's nothing really there to play for besides a little bit of pride. In that second half in particular, it was just non-existent. Eberflus, I'm sorry, has to go. He has to go. And I had high hopes for him, like we both did, going into the season. like yeah. thinking, oh yeah, this is the guy that helped Sean Lee with his career.
Sorry, didn't interrupt you.
And he developed, like, he did build an okay reputation as a defensive coordinator in Indy.
Obviously,
it went downhill for him as a head coach at Chicago. So we brought him back on board for that defensive coordinator role, hoping we would have had that same Eberflus, kind of similar to what we had with Dan Quinn, where great defensive coordinator, went up to as a head coach, did a good, okay first season, really went downhill. We brought him back in, did great overall. Like, and obviously, well, maybe if you don't count his last actual season with the whole zone coverage against Green Bay, take that away. But now we kind of went with Mike Zimmer. Then obviously we kind of moved on for him. Now we went with Matt Eberflus. It's just a big disappointment, Mike. And you're going to have to wonder what is the discussion is going to be like with Jerry, Shawty, all the coaches. What moves are we going to be doing? But you are 100% right. There's got to be a massive defensive overhaul in this football team. Massive.
Yeah. We said last week during the pregame show, we talked about linebacker being a need in the draft. 100%. I do not deny we 100% need linebacker. Linebacker depth this year is pretty good in the draft, but like seeing that game, kind of, I was thinking edge. But seeing that game, I'm like, edge defender is a bigger need.
Yeah, it's changed my number one priority now. I think edge rusher is definitely more of a priority now going into the draft or off-season, free agency, etc. So I think that is something it needs to be addressed, because obviously we haven't created any pressure in the last three games, really. We haven't. No. Not one sack, really.
No, you never replaced the guy. I know that when we made the trade with Micah, we got Kenny Clark, right? But you've never replaced that guy. I know they tried to. They've got Jadeveon Clowney, Dante Fowler.
But those guys weren't there to replace him. They weren't.
No. They were hoping you would get something out of them. You know, they were hoping that they'd be like, Fowler was like up there in double-digit sacks last year. Clowney's vet presence, good, great at setting the edge. He's an every down edge defender. We can use some of that. They were hoping that collectively they would all be able to be what Michael was, but it never happened. It never materialized. So that says that, you know, you're not going to be without Fowler. You're going to be without Fowler, Clowney. Right. You need to get an edge defender in there and then stockpile and see what you can get together out of it, because it's a massive need.
Yeah. Okay, well, what I'm going to do now, I'm just going to kind of go over the stats and stuff like that again. So Justin Herbert went for 300 yards, averaging 10.3 with 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, no sacks, with a rating, according to ESPN, of 132.8. Pretty much almost perfect. In terms of the rushing game, we talked about Amarian Hampton in the pregame show. He was 85 yards, averaging 5.3 with 1 touchdown, his longest being 18 yards. He showed that he was damaging throughout that game. This is why we talked about Amarian Hampton a lot in the during the draft season. Like, we had him rated him higher than Ashton Jeanty, and that kind of proves why. Justin Herbert actually rushed for as well. Eight carries for 42 yards, 5.3 average with 1 touchdown, longest being 34 yards.
It was a hell of a run, too. That run, I watched it, I was like, oh. Like, the blitz just did not get to them, so Herbert just went off running.
Do you blame him, though?
No, he had all that space to run in. You'd just be like, yeah, okay, and off he went.
Yeah. On to the receiving game, Quentin Johnson, a guy that we were kind of hoping would be questionable going into this game, but he did feature. Was 104 catches for 104 yards, averaging 26.0, with 1 touchdown and the longest being 50 yards. That's ridiculous.
Oh yeah.
Trey Harris, 4 receptions, 54 yards, 13.5. Keenan Allen, 5 receptions, 44 yards, 8.8 average. Ladd McConkey, who scored that touchdown, really like put the likes of Diggs and whoever the safety was at that point, really put them in, like, just completely blew them out with that play in the early in the first quarter. I think was it first quarter or was it second quarter that touchdown?
Second quarter, I believe.
Yeah.
Quinton was the first one.
Yeah. So 4 receptions, 43 yards, 1 touchdown from McConkey. Will Disley, 3 receptions, 28 yards, 9.3. Lambert Smith, 1 catch with 10 yards. Emmanuel Hampton got into the passing game also with 1 catch for 10 yards. And Orendi Gadsden, 1 catch for 7 yards, totaling of 23 receptions, 300 yards, averaging 13.0 yards.
Here's the crazy bit. If I said this to you, the Dak Prescott made 21 completions for 244 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a passer rating of 116.8, you'd be like, you had a good game. Yeah, you go, yeah, but they lost heavily.
It just goes back to a point. We have wasted another year of Dak pretty much playing in his prime right now, and we don't have the defense to show for it right now.
Yeah, and yet people will blame him. They will blame him for this game. They will say, but how many wins does he have? And you're like, wins, losses. I don't know why it gets attached to the quarterback. It's not a quarterback stat. You're talking wins and losses that you put on the quarterback. The guy isn't even on the field half the time.
Yeah. I mean, I'll read the Cowboys statistics as well.
Yeah, sure.
So as you kind of mentioned, 21 out of 30, 244 yards, averaging 8.1, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, got sacked once, rating of 116.5. I mean, that's still decent.
Very. Right,
and you would think, based on that, you would think you would win. But here's the thing: I think where it did kind of go down for us. You were about to say something there, Mike.
No. I was agreeing with you, because I know where you're going. You're on about the ground game.
Yeah. So the ground game, where we thought we could have been a lot more effective, was not. Javonte Williams, 9 carries for only 34 yards, averaging 3.8. Malik Davis for 8 carries, averaging for 23 yards, averaging for 2.9. And we actually had Dak rushing the ball and Turpin rushing the ball. Even Joe Milton, of all things. That was the last play of the game, essentially.
Yeah, he coughed the ball up and fumbled it. It's just like everything's going wrong.
Yeah, but so this goes to your point now, Mike. We cannot blame Dak Prescott for the loss of this game. It's all on Matt Eberflus, because when I read out these statistics for the wide receivers here, you would think, why the hell did we not win? And yeah, we didn't put enough points on the board in terms of the offense. That's another issue as well. But I'll read it out. So George Pickens, 7 receptions, 130 yards, averaging 18.6 yards with 1 touchdown, the longest being 38 yards. That was that beautiful touchdown play.
The rainbow ball.
Just dropped a dime on him.
Beautiful.
Pretty much. And CeeDee Lamb, 6 catches for 51 yards, averaging 8.5, longest being 18 yards. Jake Ferguson, 3 receptions for 19 yards, 6.3 yards. Ryan Flournoy, we will talk about Ryan Flournoy. 2 targets for 18 yards, averaging 9 yards with 1 touchdown.
It should have been 2.
Yep, you're right. Yeah. Hunter Lupke, 1 catch for 14. Gervonta Turpin, 2 for 14. Javonte Williams got involved with a passing game also, 2 for 9 yards. And surprisingly, on the stat sheet, with no receptions and no yards, it's Jonathan Mingo. But when I mentioned like George Pickens had a great game, he did. Overall, based on the statistics and whatever and that as well, he was so effective early on. Obviously, I did kind of feel as though he did fizzled out in the second half a little bit. I just feel so, even with the, like, we couldn't really capitalize and kind of keep up the momentum going into that second half. But to my main point, we cannot blame Dak Prescott for this loss at all. It's not on him. This is purely on the defense of not doing their job and helping us gain advantage. Like, and this is why we keep saying this going into next season is going to have to be a massive defensive overhaul. We're going to have to draft very well. We have to bring in the right person to steer us the right way in terms of defensive coordinator, even maybe the positional coaches as well. Most likely that could be the case. We might not have the right positional coaches to do the job. And I'm sad to say that because I do like Aaron Whitehorn, I do, but he hasn't done his job, sadly. We're not creating the pressure up front.
That's sadly. Where it starts. That's where it starts. The pressure, everything begins in the trenches. And if you just, you're not getting it up there, then everything else becomes difficult. I mean, can they win up front? You've got pieces there that theoretically should. But I think the fault, as we mentioned before, you've seen it in the Vikings game. Defensive ends dropping into coverage a lot, mostly because the linebackers can't help out. But I think Eberflus was trying to pick the lesser of two evils and was going, if I send pressure and doesn't get there, the linebackers aren't good enough to cover, that'll cause a problem. So I'll help them out by using the defensive ends to cover. But then by doing that, you've got nobody putting pressure on the quarterback. So at the end, he's just got time to float around and just pick his target and find it and throw it. So I'm with you. I agree. He hasn't done his job 100%. And it's getting worse and worse as the season continues.
Yeah. And obviously that was our last home game of the season. We're going to be on the road twice, one on Christmas Day at Washington and then at MetLife Stadium right before New Year's, I believe. So, but yeah, it's not the best of season. It might end up in this season as a 500 team, like at the best as a 500 team. But I'm not too sure about the Washington game. The New York game, I think New York will be wanting to try and solidify their number one draft pick pretty much.
Yeah, they got nothing to play for, have they, you know?
No.
Who was it who done it that year? Was it Houston? And they won the final game of the season?
They screwed up, yeah.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, by winning that game. They may as well just play. That game, the Cowboys will be much the same, but it's been pretty much like a preseason game. Like, the awkward part is you've got Cowboys versus Washington on Christmas Day. And both of these teams on Netflix, it's all advertised. Neither team are playing for anything.
We're just going to be sitting up with our feet up, just enjoying the fact that we've actually got football. It doesn't matter if we win or lose, sadly as it is, because there's nothing to play for in that, really. Washington can't overtake us. We can overtake Philly because they've now clinched the division. But
you're out of the playoffs, so you know at this stage, like I know they said this week they can continue playing their starters, but at some point you've got to rotate and just go, why?
Yeah,
why don't we see what we've got? No, I get maybe playing Dak for a half just to get the team settled in and try and create a lead, but then you just pull it and go, there we go.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say, Mike. It's just one of those seasons where we had a lot going for us, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
That's a
fact. Dak's likely going to win passing leader of the NFL at this rate.
Yeah,
and that's probably the only reason why we'll probably end up still keeping him on the field to solidify that.
Because if this is a crazy start, if he is the passing leader of the season, he'd be And think about the quarterbacks that we've had in the past. He'll be the first Cowboys quarterback to lead the NFL in passing yards. Think about that for a minute. Roger Staubach didn't do it.
Troy Aikman didn't do it.
Nope.
Tony Romo did not do it.
Tony Romo, and he was much the same where he never had a defense. It feels like we've just come full circle, don't we?
You know what? It does kind of feel like that. Like, don't get me wrong, we
Romo had, era.
Like, under Romo, we did have DeMarcus Ware and stuff like that. We had some key pieces to defense, but we were not complete back then. Yeah. Whereas here, we don't really have any key. Well, we've got Quinnen Williams right now.
Mm.
That's a key piece for going into the future right now. Could you put Isaraku in that conversation? Because obviously he is a rookie.
Not yet.
But in terms of the linebackers right now and our secondary, we don't have that key player at the moment. Like, well, we did have a key player when Bland. He was fantastic last week, even though we lost.
Yeah, yeah. But he had a much better game.
Like, but we need that consistency from Bland going forward. But we need the support and cast to help out. Diggs right now? No, not right now.
Mm. And what are you doing with Diggs? Beyond right now, I would say of all the players on the Cowboys roster that has a big question mark next to him, Diggs is at the top. And if you said, what are they doing with him next? And you could talk about Pickens, you know, what he's a question mark. I would say no, he's less of a question mark than Diggs. Diggs is the, but if you ask me, I have no idea. And you ask anybody in the Star in Frisco and you ask them the question, they come back with you of just a big question mark.
You feel like you're going to be wearing the Riddler suit, if that's the case.
Yeah. I'll try and do a Jim Carrey accent or something.
No, don't dare. No, don't. Don't embarrass yourself.
I won't.
Yeah.
My Jim Carrey accent is bad as your Australian accent.
That's... You still bring that up, my God.
It's so brilliant. It's so perfect.
It's never going to freaking happen again.
You did it once more before in Dallas. Not just gone, time before.
No, I don't remember, so I can't recall. So enough of that. Anyway, but yeah, folks, let us know in the comments how you feel about going forward with the Dallas Cowboys. What do we need to do? Obviously, we kind of knew going into this game with the Chargers going flying high right now, being 10-3, who are now 10-4. They have now secured their playoff
position.
Way,
other way. You said 10-4.
Oh, sorry. 11-3. Sorry.
Oh. Just thought I'd help you out there so that doesn't go out.
Oh, God. Well, you can tell, folks, I need my bed right now.
Yeah,
11-3. They've now secured their playoff spot. Thank you for correcting me there, mate. Thank you.
That's all right, bro. You're all right.
But yes, Cowboys are now 6-8-1. Am I right? Yeah, just had to remember the top of my head there.
Yeah, you did.
Can the Cowboys actually be 500? That's a legitimate question. Like, just so I know it sounds daft. Like,
Go on.
That's the final, mate. When we were doing our season predictions, like, we were actually not far off of saying, all right, okay, based on a new head coach, based on this, based on that.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be sound absolute crazy to say this, but being a 500 team with all these benefiting factors is a bit of a win when you've actually had a bit of a rebuild overall.
Yeah. Yeah, we did the ceiling, the floor, and then the middle. We were like, this is the middle. And we kind of agreed, which ironically, because of the tie, we've gone 8-8. We could theoretically go 8-8 again. But we was like, you know, you're probably looking at like, we said 9 wins. Because like, obviously we were never counting the tie. So we was like, that was like our middle bridge is where we put it.
Yeah, we had our like worst expectations. We had our realistic ex. No, we had realistic, and we had our best expectations based on the season. And I think the best we said would have been 11 wins.
Yeah, that was 11 wins. Yeah.
And I think the more realistic part is like if we were to be like 9-8, 8-9, that's we were saying that's still a win in some comparison. We could still make the playoffs depending on how other teams were, et cetera, et cetera. But that's obviously not the case. And I think the worst case scenario obviously would have been not win a game at all.
But no, I think we said like something like 5 or 6 wins was like where our floor was.
Yeah, and let's be honest, mate. When you look at the season that we've had, the games that we thought we would have won, we lost. The games that we would have thought we lost, we won. Yeah. Obviously, well, apart from me predicting this one, obviously, but not to rub it in onto you there, but
no, you're all right. You will always find I'll go optimistic. It may wind people up, but that's just how I am.
I know. I mean, you always do your segment on blogging the boys and post up on your social media the things to be positive about. Yeah. We are running out of that at the moment.
I literally this week I did one reason to be positive, and I was like. Run out of steam, so I won't be doing it this week because obviously because of Christmas it's kind of pointless washing everything up.
Folks, be sure to hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, please follow us on all social media. I don't know what else we can really say about the game. Like, we basically gave Justin Herbert, a guy with a surgery healing hand as well. I know it's not his throwing arm, but it still plays a massive factor in terms of gripping the ball under set, like under center, etc. But we still could not put any pressure on him against a depleted offensive line where they did not have Joe Alt, they did not have Rashawn Slater, etc. We just could not do anything to get to him, and that's what
sucks.
That really what was the main reason why we lost this game is our defense. Folks, let us know in the comments what you think. Also, let us know where you're watching from, because we would love to know where you're watching from wherever you are across the world. If you're based in the States, we'd love to know if you're from Texas or wherever. But if you're from outside the US, let us know in the comments. We would love to hear from you. Like, as we keep saying here, it's not just America's team. This is the world's team. This is the place for you to have your voice as a Cowboys fan, wherever you are in the world. So, but before we do go, Mike, is there anything else you'd like to say?
Yes. With Christmas, what day should we do our next show so everyone knows?
I think we should get the pregame show Tuesday, yes.
So,
the Christmas pregame show will be on Tuesday evening. We will have that out available. And obviously, when it comes to the post-game show, we're not going to do an immediate post-game show because it's Christmas Day. So it will be on Boxing Day, folks. So
we'll have to go early Boxing Day, though, because I've got a party.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Well, early in terms of recording,
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. Yeah, so we'll be doing that. So Boxing Day will be the post-game show for the Commanders. Tuesday will be the pre-game show for against the Commanders. So, before we do go, Mike, please tell everyone where everyone can find you.
You can find me on Twitter or X at Kenfig Cowboy. That's Kenfig with a K, Cowboy with a K, and you, Mr. B.
You can find me on X and Instagram. All right, folks, we will see you guys on Tuesday for the pregame show, and we might pop a wee whiskey just to kind of celebrate for the celebrations for coming up for Christmas. Ooh, so who knows?
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, why not? We're in the season for festivities, you know. But yeah, unfortunately,
drowning sorrows.
Not the result we were hoping for a final home game, folks.
No.
A lot to work on going forward. I know there's still 2 games left of the season. Let's be perfectly honest, it's kind of pointless at this point to fight, like there's nothing to really fight for in terms of maybe see what else we have going forward into next season. But with that being said, it's a goodbye from me. It's a goodbye from Mike. We will see you guys on Tuesday. And just remember, it's not just America's team. It is the world's team. We will see you guys next time. Have a good one, folks, and Merry Christmas.
That's a wrap on the World's Team Podcast. Smash that like button and hit subscribe, Cowboys Nation. This ain't just America's team. It's your team.
Touchdown.
It's the World's Team. Only on Bleav, where real fans live.
How about them Cowboys?